Tuesday, June the 2nd, 159th day of the new year. Joining us this morning, all day long, Mr. McCauley. Hey, guy.
Hi, Brian.
How has your week been going?
My week has been not so bad.
Good for you.
Yeah.
Good for you.
Yeah, it hasn't been, I don't know, hasn't been super productive, but...
but you're only one day into it.
Yeah, so. I could be working right now, but, you know.
Yeah, yeah. You could be billing somebody something.
Darn it.
Oh. Our quote this, let's see, what are we going to find here? I'm looking for an American quote here. Yeah, there's Harry Truman. That's probably about as American as I can get.
Yeah.
Ogmandino. No, it's way too long. Huh. Longfellow. And there will be no serenade. No Longfellow serenade. Mm.
Yes.
Remember that one?
Yes. Neil Diamond, right?
Yeah. You answer before I ask the question, and it kind of defeats the purpose of the question then.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. We'll be done in 15 minutes
momentarily,
today.
Yes. The heights by man reached and kept were not attained by sudden flight, but they, while their companions slept, were toiling upward in the night. Yeah, I didn't recognize that. So how do you, do they teach you in accountant school that there are going to be times that you can take off and there are going to be times when sleep is an option?
They don't really go into it. When you're taking tax classes, the tax professors tend to say, you know, if you go into the tax side of the CPA profession, you tend to have periods of time where sleep is more at a premium, shall we say, and that's how we experience it. But
sleep deprivation studies.
Yeah, it's funny. It's funny though. You know, a person can get by on less sleep, than they're normally accustomed to, and it becomes a routine.
I understand doing some of the reading of some of the forefathers for the country that they were able to get by on 4 or 5 hours of sleep a night. Thomas Jefferson was one, but he would take like a 15-minute nap 2 or 3 times and was able to get into the deep, whatever was it, REM or the deep sleep, whatever that is, boom, and spent the time there and came back out and everything was okay. And it was the training, I think, that you were alluding to.
Yeah.
Since we've only got a minute and a half, minute now before the break, put a pitch in for somebody. Why should they consider a career as a CPA for their kids?
Well, because Congress writes tax law. And as long as Congress writes tax law, we'll have plenty to do. The reality is actually accounting and tax are both interesting subjects. They're never static. There's always change, and there's always things going on. So it's an interesting profession. There's new challenges, and you know we find that the more time you spend in the profession, the more time you spend working with people trying to help them deal with things that they either consider problems or challenges or opportunities within either their business or their personal life. And it's fun to be part of a solution.
And you mentioned solution. I was wondering if it might be considered as a problem solver.
In many cases, that's what we do. And we look at and actually there's lots of times somebody will come in and, they'll have something they want to talk about. And then I'll say, well, I want to ruminate on this a little more. And then I'll go talk to some of my partners and say, what are you thinking? And sometimes third party's got a great perspective.
It's 8:19.
Listening to Destination Radio. If you live here on California's North Coast or on the Curry Coast of Oregon, we're here to help you with things to do and places to see that are not too far from home. If you're visiting our beautiful area, we'll tell you about the events and destinations that will make you want to stay a little longer. What roads to take for spectacular scenery, where to hike in the forests and over the sand dunes, where to ride your bike or paddle a canoe. Coming soon to a radio near you, 790 AM, Destination Radio.
Good morning. KINS News and Information Time is 8:24. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Bill McCauley. Bill, the identity the breach of identity or in confidential information that the IRS owned up to last little bit. Was that concerning, or, and I was going to sound goofball, but was it more confirmation that anything and everything can be tapped into if enough resources are put towards it?
Yes, I think that most of the people who are trying to perpetrate identity theft, they're looking for the low-hanging fruit. So, you know, they tend to find an area and they exploit it until people put up enough defense walls to make that particular means of going after information less viable. And then they look for some other way to do that. And so there's always groups of people out there who are attempting to illicitly gather information and use it for their purposes, and inevitably that's to make money or to empower themselves. And so
I would think it part of the challenge is because most of us over 30
slightly
just barely made it through the door.
Just got over that hurdle.
We didn't grow up with these baked into our personality. You know, we never had the thought, you know, somebody would steal an email. How do you do that? I mean, it's from me to you. Yeah, you know, it's like the at least with a letter, okay, somebody could hold up the postman, or it could get lost on the floor, or. But an email, I mean, it's going from me to you. How does anybody, you know, and just trying to kind of wrap ourselves around where the vulnerability points are, let alone somebody being able to take advantage of them.
Well, that's the whole point, is that for you and I, we were in high school, email was unheard of. I mean, it wasn't even a gleam in somebody's eye at that point. So, you know, we started our business careers working with different tools. And if you think back on what's changed and what tools are different.
Fax machine was a breakthrough.
The fax machine was a huge change. And you know, and I still think of files that we still have some files with old fax paper, and it's old thermal paper, and it's breaking down, and it's curled up, and it's anyway. So, you know, those are, and that was new, and that was, you know, and all those things. You know, when I started work, and I started in accounting in 1983, and when I started in 1983, if you needed information from a client, you called them, they mailed it to you. Or they dropped it off, but if they were not local, they mailed it to you. And so, you know, there was always a mail delay on things that had that type of a communication structure built into it. Now everything's instant. Not only we still get faxes. Don't get me wrong. And actually, there's some reasons why a fax data is actually a little more secure in a lot of respects.
Such as?
Pardon?
Such as?
Well, I mean, if somebody were to fax us a tax return as opposed to send us an email over the open internet that's unencrypted and doesn't have a password on it, the fax is more secure. So, you know, we use encryption technology, and we have a means where we can send an invitation to a client and say, okay, why don't you send that through this encrypted technology to get that.
Oh, and you hook it to it.
So the point is there's all these new mechanisms that exist that didn't exist before because we didn't have the problem. We didn't have to worry about it. When, you know, we'd call our client, they'd say, oh, well, I'll drop that off. Or we'd call our client and they'd say, okay, we'll put that in the mail to you. And if it was really critical, they'd use some express service, which was still kind of new in a lot of respects. And all those things, you know, we've blown past all that. And so now we have all these new security concerns that come up because data is transferred in different ways. And
some kind of express service, huh?
Yeah.
Not that you're showing any slight favoritism there whatsoever.
No, I would not want to have any bias and, you know.
And have to deal with it.
Yeah, exactly.
Can faxes be, I mean, as long as you send it to the right place, other than the receiver end doing something squirrely, can those be intercepted?
In general, they're very secure, and that requires a co-opting of a different. It's much easier. The low-hanging fruit is in email as opposed to somebody trying to hack faxes. Really, the way I think they would probably hack faxes is at the source where they were either being sent, before they were sent, if they were being queued up in some way, or when they actually are received at some other end. In our case, We have a fax server that we receive faxes, and they're converted to a PDF. And then they get disseminated through our email internal.
So your printer
through our internal email
your
system.
Your fax doesn't print.
Pardon?
Your fax doesn't print.
No, it doesn't. So it comes as a PDF attachment within, but it's within our on-site email system. So it's not gone outside. It's been received into our domain as a fax, and we've converted it into a PDF for purposes of transmitting within our domain.
Not that you're a computer geek, but you're saying domain instead of the business?
I'm using the wrong terms. Yeah. There's somebody out there going, he said what? Because it's really being, our thingy is converting it.
Yeah. There you go. Now you're talking my language. Yeah.
I know just enough to be dangerous. In that
I know where the dangerous people live. That's about as close as I get to being dangerous.
Right.
But I think part of this element is just understanding where things are, and you know, at least using the things that might accomplish the goals and not set yourself up.
Right. And it behooves all of us to pay attention and do our best.
It's 8:30.
What could we do as a community to make Humboldt a better place to work and live? The answer is to make sure our kids are literate, able to plan financially, move forward in their education so they are better prepared to enter our workforce, and become contributing and productive members in our society, community, and economy. How do we do it? Through the Decade of Difference Initiative. Visit decadeofdifference.org and find out how you, as a parent, student, or business owner, can help. It's the Decade of Difference. Be part of it.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Times, 8:36. We're back talking shop with Bill McCauley. So, Bill, with the identity theft that the IRS owned up to, was it the low-hanging fruit stuff that you're referencing? Is it somebody who saw, you know, if we can find the end of that rainbow, and they found the end of the rainbow? Where was it on the scale of easy to almost magical?
It was not magical. Basically what happened, and keep in mind that the IRS was not hacked. Okay. There was data that was compromised, but the source from that came from outside the IRS, not inside the IRS. In other words, the IRS has a system that's called Get Transcript. And the Get Transcript system allows you to go online, and if you have an account with the IRS that's been set up, You can go in, and if you know certain data, and that would include such things as the name, social security number, address, etc. That if you have that basic data, you can go in and start to set up an account. And when you go to start set up the account, there's also some out of wallet types of knowledge base questions that they ask about you.
Like, what was your grandmother's maiden name kind of things?
Yeah, it might be more like, did you refinance in the last 5 years? And if so, it might give you four different banks where that might have happened, and you pick the right bank. So they do some out-of-wallet type of authentication to say that's who you are. Those things, through a little bit of trial and error, can be defeated relatively easily.
Yeah, if you only have four variables and three questions.
And some of them are a little more logical than you might think, and you may be able to beat that with looking at Facebook, you know. There are things that people who have a Facebook account, there's information there that a person might harvest to a system. Like, where'd you go to high school? You know, and what was a high school mascot? Well, if you went to Ferndale High School, and you have that on your Facebook account, and somebody can go to your Facebook account and see that, and then Google Ferndale High School and see that they're Wildcats.
OK. kind of get a profile.
Then you can get that data is available. So this was a concerted effort by what we're told is that the effort came out of Russia, and they went through. And so what they did is they got over 100,000 accounts under the GET transcript system. And now the IRS's response has been to shut the system down because of what has occurred. Now, there are a couple of ways to defeat it. One of them is to actually go on to the IRS website and register yourself before somebody else does it for you. That right now you can't do it because you can't get to the GET transcript system. It just says it's down. So the long and the short of it is that problem really wasn't of the IRS's making. They were using kind of conventional security protocols. But it was people whose information was co-opted from other sources, and who also had probably some kind of presence on the internet that enabled these people who were perpetrating this thing to get enough information to be able to get far enough into the system to get data. So what they've now, and typically what happens is people get data and then they turn around and use the data for other purposes, or they sell it to other users. One of the things that the GET transcript system allows is that it would allow, if I were to go in and get a transcript of, say, we'll take you because you're sitting here, and I go get your transcript, and I would then see who your employer was. I would then see what your wages were from the year before, what your withholding was from the year before, and I might be able to build kind of a realistic tax return for purposes of trying to file with the IRS.
Can you fake it?
Yeah.
But get close?
Right. And it might pass some of the IRS has some sniffers out there to try to determine if this is, if there's certain types of changes and whatnot. They're not very effective, candidly. I mean, the IRS says they're doing better, and so does TIGTA, which is the Inspector General for, I can't remember what the tax administration. And so TIGTA has been doing something. They said the IRS is doing better,
like,
which
triggers?
Only tells me the IRS was doing horribly before, because they still got a ways to go. I'm not here to be an apologist for the IRS.
This thing is looking for weird, out-of-the-norm things?
Yeah, things
so all
like,
of a sudden you go from two kids to 10
right.
in 1 year?
Yeah, or address changes, employment changes, the middle initial for the spouse's name changes, the withholding seems a little weird.
The low-hanging fruit from the IRS's perspective.
Yeah. And the IRS is doing some profiling of return filings to do that. But the problem the IRS has is a lot of the data isn't on hand before they start issuing refunds. So in other words, employers are required to prepare W-2 forms and provide them to employees by January 31st. And if they're submitting those W-2 forms to the IRS, it's to be done by February 28th. Are we seeing the problem? And if those things are actually going to be submitted electronically, they don't have to go into March 31st. Are you seeing the problem? The problem is the data doesn't exist in the IRS's hands before they are processing refunds. So, the IRS has got to do a better job. They are behind the curve here, and maybe they're doing a better job, but they've got to go a long way. The danger here is that it's the integrity of the tax system. Fundamentally, when you start realizing billions of dollars have been co-opted from the IRS, and then you turn around and I tell you, Brian, hey, you got to write a $5,000 check with your taxes. When you have a voluntary compliance system, ultimately, if we can't trust the IRS not to give our money away on the backside, voluntary compliance is going to have more challenges than it currently has. Because people are going to go, wait a minute, why should I pay when the IRS doesn't even look at the back door of the barn and the money's just floating out the back? That's the problem.
KINS, News and Information Times, 842. We'll be back with more from Bill McCauley.
The flame of learning is lit daily at St. Bernard's.
St. Bernard's has openings for new children in our preschool and pre-kindergarten classes. Hi, I'm David Sharp, president of St. Bernard's Catholic School. St. Bernard's Early Childhood Education Center, license number 12540-2277, offers preschool and pre-kindergarten. We're open year-round from 7:30 a.m. to 5 p.m. Call us at 443-7705 to schedule a visit.
St. Bernard's High School and Elementary School, making a difference in lives for today and tomorrow.
Good morning. KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:46. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Bill McCauley. Bill, the concept of the identity theft, if you were one of the chosen, when do you know it? Would you feel it? Let's say it happened 2 years ago.
Well,
how does that manifest itself today?
Well, let's step back. I mean, this most recent issue the IRS has brought up, that there was 104,000 returns that were compromised through the Get Transcript system. Those people, the IRS knows who those folks are, or who they believe they know who they are. Let's just assume that they've accurately identified the 104,000, and it's not really 208,000. But let's just say, and there's reasons to think they probably missed some, but what the IRS is going to be doing is they're going to be contacting those taxpayers and letting them know that there has been some compromise here, and there's also going to be an offer of free credit monitoring, is my understanding. So you'll have the ability to kind of.
So it's $100 a year?
Yeah, but that's, you know, I mean, that's just a few more people who aren't working on the enforcement of Affordable Care Act or something.
As you're looking at this, what about the harm? You know, we had the opportunity, what was it, about 15, 20 years ago now? Maybe 25 years ago. Social Security number was nailed. Credit cards were nailed. I mean, it was 3-4 years. And I'm still not 100% sure that there's not lingering that's out there. And that was me being stupid, not somebody else being stupid that knows what was going on. This was back, you know, before the computer stuff. Now with this thing and being able to sell this information and all over,
it's a problem. We have clients who filed their 2013 tax return, and the IRS notified them. We went to e-file it. The IRS came back and said, no, there's already been a tax return filed for you. So we immediately opened up notified the IRS that we believe there was fraud. We sent them a paper filed return. They indicated, yeah, there's multiple returns here. We're going to work on it. Okay, these are 2013 returns filed in 14, right? Still don't have those refunds. They weren't big refunds in this case, but we still don't. The IRS and the Franchise Tax Board have not resolved this thing yet. Keep in mind that our taxpayer, the return that we prepared,
the real,
there was no change in address. There was no, but on the dummy return, there's problems, and you know the IRS. Anyway, they're going to have to do something. You know, I have a very unpopular solution to the problem, which is you don't issue a refund until July 1st every year. And that way there's time for the IRS to get the data and scrub it before they start issuing refunds. That is politically probably unpalatable, but that's my, you know, you could carve out a huge chunk of the problem if you would go through that.
And I would think any of the advertised defensive moves that were taken might say, okay, we're going to move on to something else instead of IRS, and that there'd be less.
It still qualifies as low hanging fruit.
Okay,
and so I think there's going to have to be a lot of change before this is no longer an area where thieves are focused.
Oh boy,
yeah, we're not done.
Yeah. Yeah, are you seeing incremental improvement?
Well, I would say I think that we don't know how bad the problem is because the government isn't totally transparent with regard to it. So I think it's hard to know. It's hard to evaluate that question at this point because I don't think we really know how bad it was to know how bad it is to know how bad it's going to be.
You need a reference point.
But we don't have that data, but we do know that they're having problems. They say they're making some progress, but we'll just see how it goes.
Thanks for coming. Join us tomorrow morning for more Talk Shop. Till then, go out and make it a good day. Hug some of you. See you.